The Homecoming King. How cool was that? So since December, we've been wanting to have this conversation, Sylvester Dixon. And what an incredible young man. If you had Bible class with him, do you need to apologize to the class?
Yeah, for being a know-it-all.
Yeah, he was the curve breaker. The guy knows the Word of God. And it was pretty cool to have a kid in class that I'm like, hold on, wait for the rest of us. And wasn't talking about myself, of course. No, all right, that's good. Tell us about yourself. Some of the people, they've seen you. You're kind of quieter a little bit, all right? Always have a smile on your face. Tell us about Sylvester.
My name is Sylvester Dixon. For those of you who don't know, my major is criminal justice. I am from Opelika, Alabama, but I was born in Montgomery. I am the young...
Where's our Alabama people? Do you notice Alabama people always scream or say something like that? And did you say Montgomery?
Yeah, Montgomery.
I know your parents are down here. Dreamland ribs? Oh, my word. I keep going.
Yeah. I'm the youngest son out of five siblings. I do have a younger sister who's also here at LCU. I've worked with the United Company for like 3.5 years, and I got offered the assistant manager's position when I turned 18, so I've been an assistant manager since I was 18.
As a supermarket?
Yeah, at Market Street, yeah.
So can you get me some deals on some meat and stuff like that? I mean, is it?
No. You got to catch the deals.
All right, that's fine. All right, so that's impressive, though. At 18, you're an assistant manager.
Yes, sir.
Wow, all right. Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna ask you about this. Tell us about your ministry, because when you told me this, I'm like, this is awesome. So go ahead.
So something me and my family, we like to do, we like to bring the church to the people, which is actually like talking to people, you know, praying for people. Something I like to do is pass out these gospel pamphlets that have the gospel on it, and it says like Jesus loves you, and it has the whole gospel message with, and like scriptures that lead to salvation and everything like that. Mostly, we usually, like, just talk to people. I'll even hold up a sign on a corner that says, Jesus loves you, and things like that. And, yeah.
And some people here have joined you, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you've joined Sylvester in the Jesus loves you, can you raise your hand? There we go. That's family. They have to. I know we have some students. Are they skipping chapel today, Sylvester? They may be over there.
Yeah, they're hiding.
Okay, so we are looking at a real-life street preacher.
Yes, sir.
That is so cool. We have some video. Go ahead and watch this. All right, so every street preacher I've ever met. Oh! That's awesome. Every street preacher I've ever met usually has a really cheap microphone, and he's on a box, literally in a soapbox, yelling at people. That's not what we witness. So explain what you do with your street preaching, because I think it's remarkable.
So something I like to do, I like to, like, be real inviting and, you know, kind of talk to people in a way that's receiving, because I feel like if you talk to people and be like, hey, you're a sinner, you're going to hell and things like that. I'm going to be honest. If I was an atheist, I would turn away from God. Like, that would make me not want to be a believer. Like, you know,
the way. You say that one more time for the people not listening until right now, okay?
Yeah.
That it's not about just throwing Jesus in their face and saying they're going to hell. But what'd you say?
It's about presenting it in a way that's receiving and that people would, you know, accept.
And if you, like, if you were a non-believer, you would turn away from that.
Sorry, say again?
You said if you were a non-believer and saw somebody doing that, that wouldn't be appealing to you at all.
Right, yeah.
That's pretty incredible. So you raise up signs every once in a while. I love Jesus, or talk to me about Jesus. Why is that such a good strategy? And has anybody ever taken you up on the offer to talk to you about Jesus?
Oh, yeah, plenty of people. I think that's a good strategy because, you know, I feel there's a lot of people that, you know, that probably don't actually know God, but they've probably heard of God, and it's like, God, show me a sign, show me that you love me. And something I'll hold up a sign that says, Jesus loves you. So that could be confirmation. Like, imagine someone driving down the street and it's like, God, show me you love me. And then you see someone with a sign that says, Jesus loves you. And it's like, I think that's a good strategy. And yeah.
So we talked behind stage that the one that brings the increase, the one who actually brings about conversion, we don't have any power in that. The Holy Spirit works. So it's kind of cool that if somebody's like, show me Jesus, and they see you, has anybody ever said that to you? It's like, why are you doing here? Why are you asking me this?
Oh, yeah. Usually when they ask that, my response is, I've experienced Jesus. Like, I feel a lot of people, they believe in Jesus, but there's a difference between believing in Jesus and knowing Jesus. Like, I remember, I used to have fear. I used to always care about what other people had to say. I always, walked in this fear because always thought about what everyone else had to say and not what, God had to say in it. And I kind of go into detail and I explain, how God has delivered me from several things. And even me ministering and talking about God and evangelizing, that is proof of the power of prayer and what God did in my life. Because, I think everyone kind of goes through this where you kind of think about what everyone else got to say and not what, God wants you to do. But God, He got me to a point where I don't care about, what anyone else got to say. I care about what God says and about, pleasing God. And, I go into, my personal experience that I've experienced with God and, just talk to people like that.
So when we're sitting here listening to you and we're like, I know, but you're 18, an assistant manager at United, seems like every criminal justice major, you can choose whatever you want to do. Somebody would say, well, it's just because you came from a great family and you have a lot of great confidence. You're giving glory and honor to God, saying it's because of what he's done in your life. So if somebody were to ask you that, you just have advantages I don't have. How do you explain it's from God?
I would explain it because it's like proof. Like, this is something like years ago, I'm going to be honest, I'm like so introverted. Like years ago, I would not do this. And, this is like proof of God's power in my life. And I always tell people, even talking to people, that is a change. That is something that God has done for me, and, it's an answered prayer.
That's awesome. So I'm looking at your mom and dad down there. You saw it. Yeah, so Holy Spirit does pretty incredible things. I got to ask this. You go to the mall. You're praying with people. Have you ever been thrown out of a public place?
Oh, yeah, several times. Yeah.
All right, so tell us about. They probably, you're so nice. Did they apologize to you when
asking
you to leave?
Like, the security is always cool. Like, they'll be like, I really appreciate what you're doing, but, my bosses, they're telling us that you got to go. And it's like, I'll tell them I'm not soliciting or not, I'm just talking to people. And they'll be like, yeah, but you just can't do that here. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, so you go outside and do it.
Yeah. They say you can do it in the parking lot, so yeah.
Awesome. So if we see you walking up in the parking lot, we should say hi and come hug you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you probably just got thrown out of the mall. Is that what you're saying?
No.
All right. So how many takers do you think you've had? We saw some of those discussions, not just praying with people, but you hold up a sign. Give me a number since you've been to Lubbock. Because, again, some of you bring some of your friends, and that's what – some of y'all go to movies. Some of you sleep late. They go to the mall, and they witness for Jesus. So – I can't get you any chapel credits for that, but that's really awesome. How many people? I'm just wondering, how many conversations do you think you've had?
Honestly, I can't count. Like, here in Lubbock, like, for the past 6 months since I've been out here, because I came from Abilene, but I can't count how many conversations I've had with people.
Has it gone up or gone down?
It's been going up.
Why do you think it's gone up?
I believe because it's like, the way I introduce myself, it's not like, I'm like, hey, you need to repent, or like, you're going to hell, you need to, change your wicked ways, I'd be like, hey, I like that shirt, my name is Sylvester, how are you, can I pray for you, or do you know Jesus, and, I even run into believers, and I'll even ask them, I'll be like, do you believe in Jesus, and they're like, yeah, and something I'll say, I'll be like, why, and they're like, well, because I go to church, my parents told me, and, then I go into details, like, you have to experience Jesus for yourself. The Bible says you taste and see that the Lord is good. This is something that your mom can't do for you. This is something your dad can't do for you. This is something your pastor can't do for you. Dr. Fraze can't do for you. But you have to experience the goodness of God for yourself. And it's like, because I run into so many people, they're like, yeah, I believe, you know, I go to church, you know, I believe because my parents believe. No, you have to believe because of what God did in your life. So that way, when the devil tries to tell you God's not real, you know he's real because of what he actually did in your life.
So. Dude, that's awesome. We can give a round of applause for that if you want to. So you're a modern-day Jeremiah standing in places that attract attention, and you get to tell them sometimes some hard truths, and I appreciate the way you do it. So here's a question I want to know is, why do you do this?
I do this because, and you know, I run into a lot of people all the time that be like, oh, you don't have to do this, you know, we're saved. So, like, if you're already saved, why are you spreading the gospel? And it's like, to be honest, imagine, God forbid, right, say you have cancer, and say that you find the cure to cancer, right? Say you're a doctor, you found the cure to cancer. As soon as you cure yourself, wouldn't you want to, like, cure other people? Like, that's just the typical thing to do. Like, so how much more should we want to spread the gospel? You know, we have the cure to death. And it's like experiencing Jesus has really is really the only reason I do this. It's like because I want to share that experience. I want to share that peace. I want to share that love that surpasses all understanding to other people, you know. And to be honest, I'm going to be real. It's like it's kind of selfish keeping the truth to yourself. Like, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So imagine keeping all of that to yourself, because this is something we know. This is something that we're sure of. So why would we want to, like, you know, keep it? I think spreading the gospel, it should be, like, natural, not a chore. Like, some people feel like they're forced to do it. I think it should, you know, come natural.
That's awesome. That's good. You know, one of the things, and you were raised in church, too, that we're taught is invite somebody to church. I've been teaching that I think inviting people to church is a second move.
Exactly.
So yeah. You agree with that. Why is it a second move?
Because I believe that church is not a building, if that makes sense. Church is the body of Christ. Church is right here. You know, the Bible says when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So I think being the church and then inviting them, you know, to your congregation and things like that, I think we should bring the church to people. That's why I agree.
And that's a discussion of First Peter. You live such good life among the pagans, they'll see your good deeds and your good works.
Exactly.
Basically asking someone to pray or to be light in darkness. So thank you for doing that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Ending invitation. All right. What would you like people to take from your presence right here? And it may fill your dance card up, if you will, but do you really want to have conversations with people about Jesus? Because you can make an invitation right here.
Oh, yeah. I invite anyone on campus. Like, talk to me about Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, if you do know Jesus and want to grow in God, talk to me about Jesus. I invite anyone, you know. I'm living proof of God's goodness. I've experienced God. And I just encourage y'all, talk to people that are in your friend group. Talk to people that know the word of God. Just try and build that connection with God. Also, something I would like to share is don't ever let someone tell you you are too young to serve God. Don't ever let someone tell you that, you know, you don't understand or things like that. Because I'm actually share a verse right here. Those of you who have your Bibles, you can go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I," this is Jeremiah talking, he said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." So right there, Jeremiah was like, oh, I can't speak, you know, I'm a child. You know, God just told him, you know, to go speak my word. And Jeremiah's response was, I can't speak because I'm a child. And, you know, God said, don't say that I am a child because I'm going to be with you. And I think that's something we all need to understand. When God is for you, who can be against you? You don't have to be scared to spread the gospel. You don't have to be scared to stand out. You know, the Bible says that we are a peculiar people. I remember when I was younger and I read that, I was like, what does peculiar mean? Like, peculiar, the word means strange, it means odd, it means set apart. So literally, we're not even supposed to fit in. Like, I see so many people trying to fit in, you know, with the trends and everything, you know, trying to be cool and stuff. But I think spreading the gospel is cool. I think we need to, you know, be a peculiar people and stand out. You know, I don't care if your friends don't agree. I don't care if your parents don't agree. I don't care if your girlfriend doesn't agree. If God puts it on your heart to do it, you should do it.
We had church up in here right there. That's awesome. It's now I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. This would be fun. We have faculty, staff. We have students. We realize LCU can be a peculiar place. We have a C in the middle of our name, but it's a very inviting place. We want to be authentic. And sometimes we don't do this, but I think it'd be fun. If you are someone that someone could walk up to and say, "Tell me more about Jesus," would you just stand up so other students can know where you are? Go ahead. I'll be that person too. Look at that. We got coaches. We have students. We have a president. Go make a bunch of – just go talk to the president, a whole line of you. That'd be fun. That'd shut the university down for a day. Guys, we really do believe this stuff. And here's – I mean, we have a real-life street preacher right here that does it the right way by sharing the love of Jesus. So if we could all stand. And as we I'm going to pray, and then you get to dismiss us. Is that all right? Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for Sylvester and his courage. Thank you for his reminder that church is us. It's not a building. That we have a message to share. We have a cure to the things in the world that are dividing us, that are destroying us to death itself in Jesus. Thank you so much for the testimony of Sylvester. Thank you for the testimony of so many in this audience. Father, would you just let us have holy conversations? Would you give people the courage to speak to their friends, to speak to their students, for the students to speak to them, and just have a conversation? Father, we are so thankful that you look past all of the things that we look at, all of our sins and all of our failures, and you made us new creations because of what Jesus did. And in that truth, in that wonderful peace that it gives us, we all say together, amen. Sylvester,
y'all are dismissed.
There we go.